and welcome to a SearchSAP.com presentation, The Strategy of Success, Best Practices in Building Your SAP Consulting Business. This presentation is being brought to you by SAP. My name is Don Geef, and I'll be the moderator for today's presentation. Joining us today are John Reed, an independent SAP analyst, Amir Blick, Director of Business Development with SAP Community Network, and Mario Herger, Community Alchemist with SAP Community Network. I'm now going to turn things over to Amir to begin the presentation. Please go ahead, Amir.
Thank you, Don. Hello, everyone. My name is Amir Blick. I oversee business development for the SAP Community Network. And today, I'd like to welcome all of you to the second SDN subscriptions webinar. Last time, we discussed in length tips and tricks for installing the NetWeaver platform. I happened to miss that first webinar as I was on a too short paternity leave, which was a great excuse. Mario Herger with us today, our community alchemist, and you can explain the title later, hosted that webinar. Today, it is my pleasure to host John Reed, president of John ERP. John is an SAP career expert as well as an SAP mentor. John will be discussing best practices for building and running successful SAP consulting businesses. Although I never met John face-to-face, we've been collaborating for a few years now, initially when John was the chief editor for SAP Tips. As for the agenda today, we'll start with John, who will take you through his presentation. I'll add, of course, a shameless plug about SDN subscriptions, and we'll finish up with a live Q&A, where John will be answering your questions. So feel free to submit those questions throughout the webinar. John, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Amir. Thanks for that fine introduction, and thanks for all of you who are taking your lunch break or your work break with us today, and hopefully we'll leave you with something of value. So I'm going to start with our overview slide here, and I want to take a couple minutes here and just give you a little background into what we're trying to accomplish today. One of the great things about SAP is that even though we think about SAP in terms of the state-of-the-art software for the largest companies and consultancies, there's actually all kinds of roles to play in the SAP market. And to me, without getting too misty-eyed, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. You can find a role in SAP that really fits your skills and lifestyle, and I've seen it many times. A consultant gets some projects under their belt, and they start to get the entrepreneurial bug a little bit. Sometimes it just starts by wanting to maximize your bill rate. But eventually, this has led a lot of consultants to the process of building very successful services and consulting firms that have made a large impact on the SAP community. So this presentation talks about some of the next steps and how to do that. And, of course, the transitions involved here are not always easy. I think about my own career transitions from an SAP recruiter to running services firms to my more dreamier role that I'm pursuing now as an analyst helping other firms to grow. And this has sort of been my end goal, but I've had a lot of humbling moments and stumbles along the way. And hopefully those have consolidated in some lessons learned that we can share with you today. Becoming an independent consultant is not necessarily an easy thing to do. And to this day, I know consultants who never did take that leap and have had regrets about it. And it is a leap. And whenever you take a leap in your career, you do tend to feel a little bit of a breeze. But there are ways to minimizing the risk, and that involves coming up with the right strategy and having the right resources at your disposal. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And the really good news for aspiring SAP consultants is that in today's SAP ecosystem, it's very, very different than the mid-90s when I first started helping consultants become independent, and they were really out there on their own. But now there is an SAP ecosystem, an amazing community to draw on, and I believe that SAP's online communities are at the heart of this ecosystem. And I really believe in what SAP has done with those communities, as well as what they're doing with SDN subscriptions. And that's why I agreed to do this presentation today. And that brings us to our slides here in the overview slide, and this is essentially the flow of the presentation we're going to cover today. We're going to talk about becoming a successful independent, talk about growing your business, and then look at the process of developing third-party SAP products, and especially mentioning the SAP namespace and the significance of that. So that's the flow of the presentation. I have a lot of slides to cover today, and in fact, in the last week, the great SAP team helping me with this presentation was really working with me to get this slide deck reduced. So I'm going to breeze through some of these slides pretty quickly, but anything that we don't touch on as much as you would like, feel free to catch us in the Q&A or perhaps in the follow-up after the presentation is over. So with that said, let's get started. So the first step in this journey is becoming a successful independent consultant, and this is sort of an overview of what I think that takes. Finding a marketable SAP skills niche with consistent demand is the key. You want to feel like you have a set of skills that is consistently needed over the course of many projects. And the first step is taking that plunge, but of course you're going to need some new business skills along the way, and you're also going to need some tools at your disposal, and that's where the SDN community and the SDN subscriptions can come in to help reduce your risk of failure or your fears, perhaps, of failure. And remember that you're going to have a state-of-the-art NetWeaver instance at your disposal, which not only gives you an ability to sandbox issues, but it gives you the confidence to know that you have the same state-of-the-art technology as any SAP customer might. When we talk about transitioning into a new business, we're talking about a new lifestyle and also a new set of skills, not the least of which are marketing, and we'll touch on some of that. This is a classic assumption, which is because SAP pays some of the highest billable rates that once you get out there and start billing high, you're all set. And, of course, that's not true. And the top independent SAP consultants that I've worked with, they have made a lot of sacrifices, especially in the early stages of getting their client references of their first projects. And sometimes that has meant longer flights. Sometimes that has meant work in Europe. But more importantly, it's meant a philosophy of continual improvement of your skill set and also investing in that skill set. So when we talk about growing your business and basically establishing that independent consultant track record, this might be the most common sense slide in the whole deck, and so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but blue chip references, project references are the key, and if you get a little too distracted by where you're going, you can forget about that. And SAP, despite how big a universe it is, it's actually a small world when it comes to word of mouth. I've seen many consultants lose out on projects where they never found out why they missed out on it, but it had to do with someone higher up that knew something about them from a past project. I saw one consultant who took a lot of phone calls trying to place other consultants in the middle of their project responsibilities, and that didn't go over so well either. So the first step in this whole thing is making sure that you have referenceable customers on your own company's letterhead. This next section is about staying on top of SAP's technical evolution. We're going to spend a bit of time with this. I think some of you on this presentation probably know more about SAP's technology than I do. But the key things here are not only to stay on top of what you're going to need for your own skill set, but understanding SAP's technical evolution is crucial in terms of positioning your firm to find the right opportunities in the marketplace. So we'll spend a bit of time on this topic. And the principles we're talking about here, and including self-education and utilizing SDN and SDN subscriptions, is basically understanding that it's not always easy to get paid to learn. Most companies don't like to pay consultants to learn. I did work with a COPA consultant once who got paid to learn BW, but for the most part, you're going to have to invest your own time and resources in staying on that edge. And in terms of the technical skills that are in demand, we can classify most SAP folks into the programmers or system admin categories. So I'm going to look at how SAP skills are impacting these folks, especially the developers. So the obvious technical trend we're dealing with is the rise of the SAP NetWeaver platform, fueled by the ERP 6.0 upgrades. There's some numbers for you about what we have there to look at in terms of the amount of installs. And the key point being that as companies get more sophisticated on SAP NetWeaver, they're going to look to leverage enterprise SOA. And what they're going to try to do is create functionality that helps them to stand apart from other firms in their marketplace without having to invest in costly customization of source code. And of course, this type of opportunity to develop ESOA functionality could impact a lot of folks who are looking to plan and grow their consulting businesses. So, you know, with the ESOA phrase, we always run into the hype alert. You know, I'll have consultants call me and say, this is hype. I have yet to see this on any job requirements yet. This is just the latest thing SAP is pushing. Everyone has the right to their own point of view on this, but I happen to believe that ESOA-based development is not just hype. And here's some reasons on the slide for why it's not. The first section sort of applies to work that could impact developers, reusability of code, innovating on top of SAP, and basically understanding that ESOA-based development is a best practice in a lot of SAP shops. The second set of data integration principles pulls in both the developers and also the basis type system admin folks, because we have a demand for folks who can use the so-called applications integration skill set to connect customers and suppliers over the web. And of course, there's been an EAI skill set for a long time, but I think PI, process integration with SAP, and the latest web-based middleware tools are really a step forward in the cost benefits of that type of integration. So we're going to see a lot of work for developers who can help with using those open standards for integration, and we're also going to see work for basis folks. Now you see at the bottom we have a tip here, which is that the NetWeaver development subscriptions from SAP provide access to PI. And throughout the rest of this presentation, you're going to see tips here and there throughout the slides. I may not read all of them out loud, but you will want to make a note of them. This next slide is just a brief success story, Cardinal Health. If you've been to some of the recent trade shows, you've seen that a lot of SAP's flagship customers now have proven projects under their belt where they've leveraged ESOA successfully for a variety of situations with Cardinal. They had some challenges involving business requirements, which they wanted to enable without the costly development, and they were able to use ESOA principles to accelerate that process with a composition environment, which is something you can also access through SDN subscriptions as well, where you can actually complete development projects faster. And there's a bunch of flagship customers now where you can get some insight into what they've done. Others that come to mind are Home Depot, Wrigley, Wyeth. There's many others. And the bottom line is that as those customers go, the rest of the SAP community will follow suit, and we will start to see more job orders. Using SAP subscriptions virtual tech at library, you can catch some of these presentations, and some of them are on SAP.com as well. Some more tips for programmers on mastering additional skills. I always recommend to try to mirror where SAP is going, and if you've noticed, SAP is becoming an ABAP Java hybrid platform. It's not necessarily abandoning ABAP. The idea that ABAP is dead is sort of a myth, but we want to try to mirror SAP in our own evolution. Object-oriented programming techniques are at the heart of ESOA-based principles as well, and the composition environment through SAP software subscriptions is another good way of getting a handle on enterprise services, learning how to build services, and eventually learning how to combine them into larger composites. And the real takeaway I have from this slide is that you're no longer dependent just on projects for skills. In the olden days of SAP consulting, it was either get your skills on a project or, you know, try to pick it up from a book. And now you actually have sandboxes where you can get access to tools and push the envelope on what you know. This slide I probably could have labeled the rise of NetWeaver BI, but this is another technical trend that we're all keeping an eye on, which is essentially the buzzword of the day is insight, NetWeaver BI being the link between strategy and execution, and obviously the business objects acquisition shows us just how important this trend is to SAP. And, of course, we do have BI specialists who work only in that area, but I believe that BI is going to really eventually impact all SAP skill sets. And there's a number of reasons for that. Some of them I've listed on this page, but the impact of role-based portals is a big one. The key really here is the customer desire to leverage SAP transactional data for strategic purposes as opposed to, okay, I can process an invoice, but what does this really tell me about what my future customer demand is and what areas are trending for me that I can capitalize on. But of course, in order to capitalize on that, we need user-friendly interfaces, extending reporting to casual users, and these are areas where developers in the know can really shine. Now, this next slide about becoming a business process expert, I'm going to breeze over this topic a bit. I had more slides pertaining to this, but my SAP team properly pointed out that we really take a whole webcast to touch on everything about becoming a business process expert. I'm going to do a workshop on BPX skills at the BPX Community Day at Tech Ed in Vegas in the fall, and I'll probably do a webcast in August on this topic also if you want to keep an eye out for that. But essentially, I see this as very significant for both functional and technical SAP professionals. Part of it is that SAP's BPX community can really help you to evolve your own skill set, again, along the lines of where SAP is headed, positioning itself as a business process platform. And the reason I think this is so important for technical SAP professionals is because we're all conscious of how outsourcing has impacted both the rate and demand for SAP technical skills on project sites. And for those who are looking to launch consulting businesses, some of them can capitalize on those offshore trends, but many SAP consultants do want to retain value to their on-site projects and be less prone to outsourcing. And to me, becoming a business process expert is a way of really doing that. The director of the BPX community, Marco Ten Bonholt, has often said that you're trying to become a marriage counselor between IT and business users. That's probably easier said than done, but the point is that there's much to be done here that we can do to enhance our business process expert skills, whether it's learning the new process modeling tools, developing deeper industry knowledge, and even developing a little bit of that whiteboard skill where you feel comfortable going into a room with a functional team or a team of executives and talking about business. So you can get more involved with SAP BPX online. There's a lot of great discussions that are going on. I've got my own skills blog on that site, so you can get more details online if you want to pursue that a little further. So this is the summary of tracking the technical evolution. The top insight here is that SAP customers hire consultants for areas that we sometimes talk about as edge. Many SAP customers, they look in-house to develop in-house competencies for core functions, but for cutting-edge technologies, cutting-edge initiatives, they need outside consultants. So becoming familiar with NetWeaver, ESOA-based modeling tools is a big key. And what we're trying to do is strike that delicate balance between the skills that SAP customers need now and where SAP is headed next. And sometimes this means choosing next-generation skills on projects. I often say chase skills, not rates. And I can tell you that the consultants that I've known over the years that you might talk about as rate mercenaries who always held out for the highest rate have never been the most successful SAP consultants. So maybe the lesson here is that you want to become a skills mercenary. Now, this all dovetails nicely with SDN software subscriptions. So this slide is an overview of some of the ways you can tackle these trends in the SDN software space using SDN to sandbox these latest functionalities. With SAP NetWeaver development subscriptions, you get access to the entire set of software tools and services. I have not listed nearly all of them here. A few that are hot, BI, MDM, PI. We haven't mentioned MDM at all, and there's not much time to go into it, but obviously MDM is real popular. The customer presentations I've attended on this topic are packed. It's crucial for ESOA, and it's also very important for leveraging business objects, projects, and so that's another area that you can work on online. And then, of course, the NetWeaver Composition subscription, giving you access to a range of technical tools, not the least of which, in my mind, is Visual Composer, which is obviously a GUI design tool, but I feel it's very underrated for SOA-driven mashups, which can be a very hot area. And if you want to know more about that, maybe you can contact me after the presentation, and I can send you some links. And this is the final skill slide that we have here, and this is in terms of the tools that we're maybe taking a look at. And, you know, there are so many tools. We cannot list all of them here. nor can we necessarily predict which ones will be most widely used. But this is a range of tools that I think you might want to keep an eye on going forward. And when we talk about constructing your SAP skill set, a lot of these things we've already covered. The list of tools can be dizzying. The more important thing is underlying the business drivers. If you understand the business drivers that underline your skill set and you chase the areas that are most directly relevant to you, you should be okay. And you can use these SDM resources as well as my own website to track where these SAP skills are headed. I've always said it's easier to try to anticipate where SAP is headed than to try to catch it from behind. Okay, so now we're moving on into creating a plan for expanding your consulting business. So you want to move beyond your own bill rates. Okay, you know, I bill every month, but how do I build a team? How do I build a real, genuine consulting firm? We understand the component of tracking the technology trends, but there's obviously more to it. And, you know, there's a lot of big fish in the SAP pond out there. And so to succeed as a smaller firm, you can definitely do so. And the key is to become the best in the SAP ecosystem at one clearly branded specialty, something that elevator pitch where you can tell someone we specialize in this and they can clearly understand what it is you bring to the table. You can't be all things to all companies, and some of the firms that I've seen that have really struggled to grow have been firms that sort of took all kinds of requirements and had a hard time saying no to project leads. And if you take everything, you lose your differentiation, you lose your focus. And the key is to find what you're best at and then partner with other firms for everything else. And another component here, which we're going to get into a little more, is that the skills that you need to grow your business are probably not the same skills that come easily to you in your SAP consulting role. And some folks get discouraged because they realize, well, I can't do all these things that I need to do to lead a business. But the fact of the matter is you can, as long as you recognize the areas where you're not as strong and either move to strengthen them or bring in outside people who are good at what they do. One thing I've really seen many times is folks who just don't do as well managing other people. They might be strategic visionaries or technical geniuses, but don't do as well managing internal resources and keeping morale high internally. The skillful ones bring in an outside person who can do some of that for them. So we're going to cover a little more of the aspects of what you're going to need to grow your business here in the coming slides. Key mistakes to avoid. I already touched on the first one. The second one is that assumption that you might be able to land projects with SAP customers right off the bat. It's not always easy to do so. Sometimes you can move into that quickly if you have some great rapport built up with particular hiring managers, but many times the best way to get in is to follow that tip there and partner with larger solutions providers and provide them with resources. And you know, I've worked with some incredibly successful consulting firms who have never worked a direct project at all. They've done all their work through larger service providers. So there's many ways of getting your folks out in the field. And now we come to an area of the presentation that some of you folks may not be looking forward to, which is the idea of selling. I know this was something that did not come easy to me. I can remember the first time I was asked to work a room at a Sapphire, and I did my best to introduce myself, and I was there with our lead salesperson, and while I was doing my best to work the room, I went over to him, and he was laughing it up with a project manager he had never met before. They were kidding each other about their golf handicaps, and the project was signed by the end of the conference, and that was when I had a humbling moment of realizing that true sales talent is a rare commodity indeed. Now, I do think we all need to work on our sales skills to some degree, but we can also be smart about if we find a terrific salesperson, they can be hard to find, they can require a lot of compensation, but one alternative is to bring them equity or real profit sharing in order to bring them on board. So if you're despairing about your abilities to find a good salesperson, I think the good news is that marketing and networking has never been easier in SAP, and savvy marketing, which is the topic of the next couple of slides, is a really good way to compensate for lack of sales talent in-house. When we talk about marketing, in a way, we're just talking about getting the word out about your services. And I recommend developing your own marketing plan that has a lot of different components to it. One key component, I believe, is a viable internet marketing strategy. I think for most firms, this should involve both participation in the larger SAP communities and sites, as well as developing your own site, which will give you the ability to analyze traffic and develop metrics in terms of lead conversion and such. And then also visibility in the SAP customer base. And the great thing about that is that you don't have to be a well-polished salesperson to have an impact on SAP trade shows. I've met a lot of folks at SAP trade shows, like speakers and such, and I could not believe they were speakers. But when I went to their presentations, they did a terrific job. They just spoke to what they were good at and interacted well with customers. And there's all kinds of ways to get involved with that, whether it's blogging or speaking or volunteering for ASUG and SAP events. This next slide is about web marketing. It's something I've spent a lot of time with. It's something that I think can really pay off because it doesn't require the type of investments as traditional marketing materials. I probably won't be able to cover all the tips in today's presentation, but I guess the lesson I would want to get across is that the time and energy you put into building your marketing platform really does pay off. And one of the interesting things about today's marketing environment online is that Google, being the predominant search engine player, has gone a long way towards putting the SEO games of the past behind them. SEO, of course, is search engine optimization. And it's very hard now to manipulate Google. Really, you get results in Google, you get visibility online, when you create quality original content of various kinds that plays to the strengths of what you do. So, of course, there is time and energy involved in that, but there's many things you can do, and I've seen firms do great stuff even with YouTube clips. But in addition to your own website, you're looking to combine that with a broader strategy to connect to larger sites. Perhaps you could become a blogger on SDN, for example, gain visibility that way and tie some of that content into your own site. As well, there are other social networking sites that you can have success with. I have experimented with some of them. I've had great success with LinkedIn. I have received actual paid client work through LinkedIn, which absolutely got my attention. And some of this stuff talks about the content management system tip here about, you know, if you have a content management system or even a simple blog structure, basically your web marketing strategy is also about making it super easy for those people who are busy and on the front lines of your business to post content. So it's actually not that hard to set up a system to do that where you have a simple blog where perhaps your CRM practice lead has an SAP CRM blog. You make it easy for these folks to use the technology, and they will do it. And in many ways, you'll see SAP doing the same things on their own projects. So once again, we are mimicking SAP's own development strategies when we spend time with this kind of stuff. Not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is the last key aspect, I think, of growing your own SAP consulting business, which is smart financial management. One big thing is the focus on profitability, systems that can scale. I've really learned this the hard way. I have been involved in SAP services firms that got pretty large, but it wasn't clear where the profit was coming from. And when you don't have profit, your really hands are tied in many ways. It's harder to get bank loans. It's harder to get outside financing. And it's harder to look at scaling your business. On the other hand, if you have a very simple formula that works on a smaller scale, you can do a lot with it. So it's always a model towards building profitable systems. And then choosing the right corporate structure, and that's a topic in and of itself. I believe in getting good advice on that and hiring specialists to handle it. And I've met do-it-yourselfers who have done it themselves, but in my mind, this fits into this whole concept that we have. Basically, unless your core competency is finance, you outsource it. You learn how to manage these things, but you focus on your own core competencies, outsource everything else, and to me that includes the financial piece. So that's the final aspect of our skills growth piece, and now we're going to look at, last but not least, the benefits of developing third-party add-ons. I had in my original slide for this, why bother, as a challenge to myself to explain in my best words, why I think this is important in my experience. The biggest one might be that first bullet point, which is that you can have a pretty large consultancy, and then a bunch of people roll off a project, and you have a pretty small consultancy, and suddenly your business value took a huge dive. Whereas if you have a revenue generating a software leg on your revenue table, that gives you more protection against that. It can heighten the perception of your firm as having assets. Software product can also help get your foot in the door with customers. I've seen it done in terms of sort of self-assessment tools. There's all kinds of handy widgets you can create. And one of the neat things about the new model is that you can look at charging for these types of products, or you can look to give them away as a marketing tool to get further market penetration. So whenever you develop a cool product, you really have a couple of neat choices you can make in terms of how to get that out there. And of course, eSOA is an ideal platform to build these kinds of widgets. Now, a software product just really sets you apart from the perception that you just have bodies to sell, and that's something that consulting firms are always fighting against, is that perception that we're just a collection of bodies. And you'd be amazed how much perception affects things. When I put out my SAP consulting book, it was amazing to me how I was perceived differently in the market once I had a book out there. And the same applies to any type of firm where you're looking to create a perception of value that goes beyond we're trying to place some people on some projects. So with that in mind, we get to the benefits of using SDN software subscriptions. The key thing we wanted to mention was that you get your own SAP namespace, and this gives you your own development footprint. Any major SAP customer, you're got a level playing field. You're developing right along with them. Same benefits of access as if you were buying an entire SAP system, and that's a pretty incredible deal as far as I'm concerned. One of the real key factors here as well is that with this type of sandbox, you can develop and cross-check and test as you go. And I have learned this the hard way, working with some SAP third-party providers who did not have this type of access and were pretty far down the road developing products. One product in particular that I'm thinking about, they were basically ready to market and doing live webinars with SAP customers, and SAP customers were not happy with their answers to basic security and authorization questions about their software. And had they been able to test this from the get-go in this kind of environment, they would not have faced those kinds of questions. And so that was when I realized just how important it is to be able to cross-check this stuff constantly and to have access to these kinds of resources. And eventually, you can even look to a full-fledged software solutions partnership with SAP, and I did include a link there. One thing I did want to mention is that the trial composition environment tools you can get access to on SDN is just for development and testing. If you're real serious about selling your products and widgets, the SDN software subscriptions, you actually do have a license that you can use to sell. So that's the route I would recommend if that's something that you're serious about. And now we are moving to the conclusion of the presentation. So I want to just go over some key points that we covered today. I know we have covered a lot of ground. One of the things that's not on this slide but that I really believe in that I mentioned is chase skills, not rates. And you want to develop a focus to place your strengths. Take trends into account, but don't just chase what's hot. You know, it's so interesting. I hear from all kinds of SAP folks who are like, I'm thinking of adding this hot skill to my background. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense to me. The skill they're looking to add, it doesn't relate to their core experience at all. They're just kind of chasing whatever they heard was will get them the best bill rate. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The fact of the matter is there's successful SAP professionals working across the product line. So you might say an area like, for example, plant maintenance or maybe APO, not in as much demand currently, but on the other hand, there's very successful consultants and consulting firms that specialize in those areas. So you want an area that engages your imagination. It's something I call the airport test, which is, if you were stuck at an airport, say in a flight delay, and you had a 500-page book in your area of specialty in SAP, would you be reading that book, and would you be happy to be reading that book? And if you're happy to be reading that book, and you'd rather be anywhere. You just totally psyched going through it. Then you pass the airport test, and that's your area of specialization. When we talk about continual self-education following where SAP is headed, we think about how SAP puts so much money into their own R&D budget. We've heard figures as high as 20%. I don't think that it's unreasonable to look at your own self-investment being along the same lines. I really believe in it. And as SAP becomes a business process platform, folks working in SAP want to become the same. So we talk about SDN software subscriptions and SAP's online communities and how you can really track the evolution of SAP and incorporate that in an interactive way without being on your own. And finally, I had a great talk with an SDN subscriber, Tim Webb, and here's a quote from Tim. And I think his quote really does illustrate very well the difference that I was talking about between what it was like to be off on your own in the mid-90s when SAP was first kicking in the States versus now. And Tim really told me about how his access to SDN had really strengthened his business on a number of different levels. And as a BI developer, he's definitely, you know, well-positioned to take advantage. And I hope this presentation has really given you some good context for where you might go next with your SAP career. And I hope that where you go is successful and that you enjoy every step of the journey, because to me that's what it's all about. And having said that, that's the end of my presentation, and I'm going to pass this back on to Amir.
Thanks, John. Excellent discussion. And now, folks on the phone, this is time for my shameless plug. John was mentioning the SDN subscriptions program throughout the webinar. I just want to take a minute to talk about the some of the benefits of the subscription. We've got some questions regarding it. The subscription program is really a unique program for SAP and for our community. It allows you to have the full NetWeaver platform software with a 1-year development, test, and evaluation license. So you can have uninterrupted access to the software on your laptop or server cost-effectively with just the use of a credit card. Very easy to obtain. The software you get includes all NetWeaver components, as John mentioned before, and of course, both the ABAP and Java stacks. What we added in addition to the software is a comprehensive educational material in the form of the full virtual SAP TechEd catalog. This means that all the sessions that we recorded at the SAP TechEd event are available for viewing on demand for subscribers. The subscription also includes standard maintenance, of course, for the software, you know, bug fixing, access to the SAP knowledge base, patches, updates, and upgrades, so you can always keep your system up to date. In addition to that, we also built a preferred access to the SDN and BPX discussion forums, so your questions would get faster resolution as subscribers. Now, once you develop your add-on prior to marketing it, these add-ons can be easily tested against the ES Workplace, also known as the Enterprise Services Workplace System. This is a live-hosted SAP system that extends the SAP-published enterprise services where you can test your applications against. Last but not least, through the subscription program, you can secure your own SAP namespace. John mentioned that before. This is really a great asset because when you are delivering software to your clients and you wish to ensure that your code is protected, the SAP namespace makes that very easy. You don't need to be concerned about other software running over your own. If you want to learn more about subscription, I don't want to take too much time. You can go to our landing page. Very easy to get to. You go to sdn.sap.com, our SDN portal, or bpx.sap.com. And on the top level navigation on the right-hand side, you will see a subscriptions menu item. Click on it, and you get to the landing page. You can see all the information, including pricing, availability, components, et cetera, et cetera. In addition to that, we wanted to cover a few resources available to you. I'm going to go over them, the subscription landing page, the development subscription specifically, including the Internet Weaver platform, the virtual SAP TechEd library, the comprehensive library of hundreds of sessions, video recording of sessions taken at TechEd with the latest and greatest educational materials. We have what we call the SDN subscription wiki, which is really a lot of information by subscribers about their experience with NetWeaver, installations, tips and tricks, et cetera. Very, very interesting. I recommend going there. There's the SDN subscription forum, which is a private forum only for subscribers for question and answers regarding the program. And of course, John's website, which is a skills resource website, highly recommended for people that have participated or want to learn about their career. John was mentioning a little bit about sales and marketing. We're piloting right now a subscriber directory where we were going to feature all of the subscribers, because all of you are small businesses and you want to promote them to yourself. We're going to pilot a directory of subscribers that will highlight you, your business, your offerings, giving you an opportunity to expose yourself to the entire SAP community. The next one is SAP TechEd, and those of you who've been to SAP TechEd before probably don't need any further introductions, but for those who have not, SAP TechEd is the premier technical and business process event where customers, partners, SAP product experts, and thought leaders meet face-to-face to learn about SAP's technical vision and direction. We would love to see you there in any of the four major locations, Las Vegas, Berlin, Shanghai, and Bangalore. We will be there, the SDN team, of course, at the community clubhouse. And I'm sure John will be there at least in one of these locations. John, are you going to plan to be there?
Yes, I'll be at Las Vegas, and I'll be at the full event, including the pre-conference day BPX.
And you actually have a session there?
Yeah, I'm doing a session on business process expert skill set during that day.
Good. And if you'd like to learn more about TechEd, you can check out the virtual SAP TechEd library. As I mentioned, hundreds of sessions. Some of them are publicly available, so you can actually watch a live session and get a feel of the TechEd events. Recommended. Without further ado, we'll start the Q&A section. We already got some questions on the line. John, I'm going to read you the first question. And here we go. Other than by word of mouth, question from the audience, how are we supposed to find potential SAP clients?
I think this is a great question. I'm going to sort of tackle it in terms of finding your first SAP client, because it often roller coasts from there. I'm not a big believer in picking up your first SAP customer over the phone, though it can happen. I really think you have to put yourself in front of SAP customers. It's not cost-effective to fly yourself across the country to meet with people, but the good thing is that it is cost-effective to attend SAP trade shows, whether it's TechEd or ASUG or what have you, and make sure that you're there hopefully presenting or volunteering in some capacity, or perhaps participating online in SDN or BPX in some of the industry forums, getting to know customers in your industry. I can't tell you how many people have had success opening doors with customers by showing that they're a valuable contributor. Customers just, you think of it like they want to get a feeling for who you are before they sign the dotted line, and the best way to do that is through either online or personal interaction.
Good. Thank you, John. The next one is probably a question for us, SAP. I'm a self-employed SAP consultant. What does SAP offer people like myself? Do they not consider this as competition to their own consulting part of their business? As SAP, it's definitely not a competition. SAP is not a system integrator. We don't run our business as system integrators. We do have, of course, our own consulting organization simply to support our own business. We work very well with large and small consulting firms. We welcome all of the independent consultants. We would not be able to thrive as a business if we didn't have that kind of support by our ecosystem. There's actually a shortage of skilled consultants these days in order to supply or meet the demand of customers trying to upgrade. So I think from an advice perspective, I don't know if there's a clear route to finding your way there to large companies. But really, stay abreast of the latest technologies. John mentioned a lot of it. ESOL is definitely a trend that's starting to materialize. Jump on that train. You're small, you're agile, you can learn quickly, get your references, as John mentioned, and be part of our community. We'd like to continue to build this unofficial partnership with you guys, and we'll be happy to provide a place for you to expose yourself. John, do you have anything to add to what I said from your perspective?
No, only that you're absolutely correct that SAP does not selfishly try to hog all the consulting business. SAP has really realized that the key to their success is a happy customer, and that means partnering with a range of folks on solutions. So there's room for you in the market. It's a matter of finding the right niche and the right role, but there's room for you out there.
Okay. Thanks, John. Another question from the community. How do you recommend starting discussions with the larger companies to partner with? Do you have any contacts in the Big Four? That's probably a personal question. That are looking to talk to subcontractors in the strategic alignment area. Let's take the first part. How do you recommend starting discussions with the larger companies to partner with?
Well, for starters, there's a lot of different consultancies out there, and it's not just a Big Four market. There's all kinds of smaller service providers and boutique firms out there. And so what I think is the key is to basically define what your core competency is and then to figure out which firms are having the most impact with SAP customers in those areas. And then you try to contact the people within those firms that specialize in what you do. And a great way to go about it is to say, look, we have some very specialized resources in this area. We really look forward to the opportunity to work with you to staff your projects, and you get a feeler for what the interest level is. And so, you might find that the larger consultancies are not as responsive at first. Many times they have very structured vendor approval processes, but you might find that a smaller boutique firm of 50 to 100 people that has a specialty in your area is your best foot in the door to start. So basically you do your homework on which firms specialize in what it is you do, and you link up with them. And yes, some of them will perceive you as competition, but many of them realize that they won't succeed without this type of partnering, and they're very used to doing so.
Okay, thanks, John. Next question. How much SAP certifications can help in success of an independent consultant?
Well, SAP certification is an excellent topic, and in fact, I'm planning a podcast on SAP certification that I'm trying to finalize now that will hopefully be recorded in July, because it's such a constant topic, and I write about it on my website as well. SAP certification can be a very valuable part of your consulting skill set, and once again, I think it's a matter of coming up with a marketing plan and a self-education plan for yourself, and then figure out how certification might fit into that, because it's one of many investments that you can consider. But what's interesting about certification is that it tends to be much more effective for experienced consultants, I think, than for people who are just trying to break in, who think, well, if I get certified, I can then get a consulting job, which is not always easy to do. But for experienced consultants, certification can really add value. And where I recommend looking at it is not so much to be a stamp of approval on your current skills, but to be a certification in an area that you're trying to move into. So an example might be going back to someone like who's a financials profitability analysis person who has yet to get exposure to BI, but it's a logical skills extension. So you go and get certified in BI, and that's going to help potentially bridge your skills so that clients will essentially hire you to continue to develop those skills. So I think certification fits in with the strategy, but it depends on the individual, and it's one of the options for self-investment that should strongly be considered.
Thanks, John. The next one, it's about the subscription program. What would be your suggestion on terminology on resume, a CV, to show that you have SDN software subscription to better the skills on an ongoing basis? Where on the resume would you put this type of information? Maybe I'll take a shot at it first. I wouldn't necessarily put SDN subscriptions on your resume. I think it's a great way to advance your skills. If you have only experience based on your client engagement with a subscription program where you have access to the entire platform, to the entire software, you get access to the full catalog for virtual SAP Tech Ed. You can get educated about any area of SAP. That should actually help you to broaden the skills that you're demonstrating through your resume. For me, that would be the angle that I would use it. I wouldn't necessarily put the subscription program on your resume. John?
Well, that's a really interesting question. It's an excellent one. And the one thing I think you do want to be careful about on your resume when you're looking to grow your own business is that your next consulting client doesn't necessarily want to know about all you're doing to grow your own business. So I do think you want to be careful about keeping that kind of stuff off your resume and keep your resume focused on skills, as Amir said. But I could see experimenting with this. I can't give you a definitive answer because I've seen no one do this yet, but I could see adding a continuing education component to your resume that included, amongst other things you're involved with, your access to SDN subscriptions. It would be an interesting experiment to see if it would work. The other thing you could do is also tie it into your cover letter so that when you're applying for a particular position, you could note that in addition to what you have under your belt, that you also have access to a full SAP sandbox. It will be an interesting experiment. I can't say for sure because we haven't seen enough of it yet, but I'm always open to trying new things, and that might be something worth trying.
Yep, absolutely agree. Experimenting is always good. Next question is, does SDN subscription include IDES? The short answer is no, it does not include IDES. We don't provide the that kind of data, but we are currently in the process of adding NetWeaver images that would run on VMware. And those will be pre-configured, pre-installed, so you'll be able to have the software already running on your laptop. And that would have a comparable data to IDES. It's not going to be the IDES data, but it will have a complete solution with data that you'll be able to test your applications against. We don't have timing for that, but that should come in the next few months. Do we have any more questions? John, one of the questions that I saw is, what's on your website?
What's on my website? Well, the best way to check it out is to give it a test drive. But the things that I have focused on include my SAP career blog, where I write about SAP skills trends. And then I have an ongoing SAP podcast series that you can check out. And there's some sample podcasts from that series on the homepage, including some pretty interesting Sapphire retrospective podcasts that I think folks on this call would enjoy. So the best way to find it out is to give it a test drive and see what's out there and maybe comment on some of my blog entries, and I'll comment you back often the same day, and we can interact. The other thing I wanted to mention is I recognize an old friend, Raj Pettisetti, who's posted a couple questions, and we'll follow up with any questions we don't get to after the fact. But one of the questions Raj asked Amir had to do with, he said, well, we have access to this presentation or recording afterwards, so maybe you want to briefly mention that.
Good, thanks. And I think we have room for one more question. Are SAP customers ready to move to SOA? It's kind of like out there, but what's your thinking on this, John?
Well, yeah, I think they are. I mean, the one thing about eSOA is that you have to have a platform in place to take advantage of eSOA, and the platform in place, of course, is the latest versions of NetWeaver. And so NetWeaver is the prerequisite to eSOA, in my personal opinion. And so that perhaps is why we haven't seen eSOA take off as fast as some might like. One analogy I've used is to think of of NetWeaver as building an airport, and then once you have built the airport, you can land any size plane, because the eSOLA projects can be very small and incremental, but you have to have the airport to land the plane. And so as we see more and more customers upgrading to NetWeaver and running on that as a mature platform, we are seeing more acceptance of eSOLA. And I did refer to that a little bit in my presentation, but I'm sure that if folks check out the SAP Virtual Tech Ed Library or some of the past webcasts on Sapphire, they can learn more about some of these customer presentations. But these flagship customers are now coming back with data about cost savings they have achieved through eSOA, as well as methodologies. And as the flagship customers go, the rest of the SAP marketplace will follow, in my opinion.
Thank you, John. I think we're out of time. I definitely enjoyed the discussion. I hope the audience did as well. I want to thank you for spending this time with us today and providing the community with this insightful information. And I also want to thank all of you on the phone for joining us. And hopefully you'll tune back with us for our next webinar. Don, back to you.
Thanks, Amir. Well, that concludes today's presentation, Strategy of Success, Best Practices in Building Your SAP Consulting Business. Again, I'd like to thank John, Amir, and Mario for taking the time to be part of today's presentation. And I'd also like to thank SAP for sponsoring today's event. And as always, I'd like to thank the audience for taking the time to join us today. This is Don Keith, wishing you all a great day.